next case, Matson versus Matson. Matson versus Matson.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking the time here. My name is Travis Billington. I was counsel for Jason Matson on a divorce, which was granted in Douglas County by Judge Randall. The main issue in this case that I think all of the issues that are on appeal come from the stem out of the fact that the court in the lower, the trial court used speculative earning potential to calculate his income to $150,000 for the purpose of child support, which during the course of following the divorce and at a temporary basis for the transition of different calculation, created a huge arrearage, which then as the assets were sold during the course of the divorce, they were awarded to my client's wife on the basis that they were used to pay off the arrearages that my client had for the course of the matter, for the child support.
And did the court use the value of the Valentine benefits?
Yeah, I'm not sure there was a tremendous amount of explanation there, but what I do know is that the in-kind benefits, that's just a matter of simple math, because the in-kind benefits that he was receiving at the time of the divorce due to the failing nature of the business that he owns for his co-owner of, the in-kind benefits were essentially a company car that he was allowed to drive and gas for it. Right, he was driving at the time. They had health insurance and cell phones for he and his kids. So if we're looking at those numbers, we're looking at probably $2,000. I don't remember the exact figures, they're all in evidence, but we're looking at a matter of $2,000. Now, his actual income is $22,000 for the year prior. So if you break that down monthly and you add that $2,000 a month in benefits, and kind of benefits back in, you still don't come anywhere near the $12,500 a month income that he was attributed to him under child support calculation and the prior calculation as well. It created this huge arrearage that, in essence, took all of his equity out of the home, took his equity out of the cars, all being awarded to her, trying to compensate for this arrearage. And I think the real important thing is that factually that differentiates this from a lot of the cases talking about in-kind benefits, talking about those cases where we average different areas of income. In those sorts of cases, we have farmers' cases where income fluctuates. We have salesperson selling cars or whatever, or making commissions, their income fluctuates, and we average those cases. We have cases I don't know how to pronounce it, RAUCH, where we're equity building a business, and the business is getting bigger because we're not taking money out of it. And we have cases in which we've got in-kind benefits. These workmen, those sorts of cases, Russell's and Gangler's and farmers instead of farmers have cases. In all of those cases, we're either building equity in a business that's going to pay off someday, or we have income from the company that equals out to what he's receiving in the form of benefits for the child support calculation. Those were not the facts here. The testimony at trial was that this business, the Superior Spawn Pools, came from his father building this business under an old business model that worked in the 80s and 70s, which is where you have a big showroom floor and you have big examples of hot tubs and people come to your business and you sell them all these fancy spas and pools and everything. And back then, and until the last few years, Superior Spa and Pools was making good money, which is where they got the cars, where they got the housing, where they got all these things that they had in the past as a family. And the testimony of trial was that because they had not embraced the new business model of internet, they were getting killed, and their income had fallen. Their income had fallen at the time of trial over the last year or so prior to trial, during the year prior to trial, to where Jason's father, the founder of the company, said the business was on the verge of bankruptcy. He said that they had laid off almost half of its employees, which he'd never done in the past. He hadn't taken any payments out of the business for himself, and in controversy, in the opposite, he had been loaning the business and his son money to get by, to the tune of he was giving away all the money that he has created over his lifetime in Superior Spawn Pools. And by the time they had tried to adapt the business model, they had already changed locations to a smaller place because they couldn't back into the internet. What we talked about was the internet was had killed the business. The data supply, she said she hadn't even taken a paycheck in an extended period of months to any employees that were still there.
Was there evidence of Jason, Jason expenditures of Jason during this time that he claimed he wasn't getting paid, that the court focused on?
Jason was making $22,000 a year. Every person that was there said he only made $22,000 that last year. The bookkeeper said that she made no payments of any kind other than the benefits that we talked about a moment ago. And the accountant came who works for the business. He hadn't been paid for the last year's taxes, and he said there was no money, it was failing. And as a consequence, because they were working under an old business model where the internet, people are going to shop for spas no more inside of the big thing.
Let's talk about the $6,000.
Yes, sir. And that's the
problem. That's the problem.
That's the problem.
And then the second problem is you're complaining about court requiring him to pay the temporary support.
Yes, sir.
But the temporary hearing where there's no record.
I understand that.
There's no evidence as to what is presented. There's no evidence as to what the court considered. How do we go back and even look at it?
You're right. There was no, and it's difficult. And when you're dealing with temporary hearings that are on affidavit only, and you're dealing with judges who have limited time, and you don't want to irritate the judge by forcing him to put something like that on the record, when you know it's not appealable on a temporary basis anyway, it's a difficult thing. There was no creation of a hearing.
But it sets you up so that you can do something about it later on.
Well, and I understand. But what I'm saying is that when the trial came, irrespective of what was said in the chambers, which is not on the record, when the trial date came, it was obvious that during the time period of the temporary time period, during the divorce, that Jason had no way of making the kind of payments in arrearages that had been created. It wasn't that he was not doing it. Now,
you show how much money he made in passion, but there wasn't the tax returns for the previous year. The rules say that usually you use the last 2 years income tax. You chose only to file the last year. I presume that that's because it showed the least amount.
Well, I think he earned his W-2s. I'm not sure if the tax returns have been from him.
Right. Just the one year was considered. It's all you asked the court to consider.
I don't recall.
Trust me.
Yes, sir.
And so that's a problem because you can't show that there's just declines. Because you know from the testimony that's been given that there was money at one point.
Yes, sir.
They were spending a lot of money and was bringing in a lot of money. Exactly how much money was bringing in, and you chose not to put up.
Here's what I would say to that. There was no testimony at trial whatsoever that the prospects for the business in the future were anything except very bad. Agreed. And here's the problem. Jason isn't a college educated, I can go and use my degree and my licensing. One thing that I specialize in is go work for another company. Jason was benefited from the fact that his father had created this company and then he came in later on and was able to purchase half the interest out. Jason had no specialty that he can transfer over to another company that would make him worth $150,000. And so his actual earnings that year and the prior year were $22,000. There was testimony all over the place that the business was not going to be making any money. It was on the verge of bankruptcy. It was not paying employees. It was not paying partners. And that he was subsisting off of almost, by the time of trial, almost $70,000 in debt that he'd taken out from loans from his father and from his mother.
Are those documents?
They're in the record.
Copies of promissory notes.
I think there was. It was a long time ago. But there was definitely. Well, I don't know really the answer. I think there was.
Let's move on to another issue.
Okay. The what?
What?
The Viper. Yes, sir.
There was no evidence. That's not a title offer. There was no certificate of title offered in evidence to show ownership.
No, there was none. But there was also.
And there was testimony in his book before that he was entitled to two-year. Mercedes, and
something like that.
So that's the chip. So why would the Viper not be corporation, or will you not be Miracle-ized?
Because there was no testimony that it was owned by the parties. And the only testimony
that was testimony owned by the parties. There was testimony that was owned by the corporation. There was testimony that was owned by the parties.
There was testimony that was owned by the corporation, but he didn't own the entire corporation. The testimony.
But there was no showing that the buyer was owned by the corporation. There's no title showing us who owned it.
There was no certificate of title. That was an issue that I did not anticipate the day of trial that we would have. I assumed during all of the corporate discussions that we had and all of the everything else at that point that it was going to be an asset of the corporation, the value of the corporation. I didn't know there would be a
certification.
No, I didn't. And if you want to put that on the
information?
Sure. Yes, sir.
Did the information show that you have cited and committed that Viper was Viper-blocked in the corporation?
No, sir. But it was a novel argument to me, especially since it was testimony at trial by Jason's father, who said that it was owned by the corporation. And that. Yes, sir. I'm sure it does.
Thank you.
May it please the court. My name is Michael Lustberg, and I appear on behalf of the appellee, Sarah Mattson. I don't have a lot to add to what my brief stated. What I didn't want to present to the court is when Judge Randall set Mr. Mattson's income at $150,000, he did so in a way that I think was appropriate under the circumstances. Exhibit 3, which importantly Mr. Mattson did not contradict with any document here evidence. In fact, I believe on the record he actually acknowledged that it was accurate. Mrs. Mattson went through and showed what expenses were paid personally out of the account, what expenses were paid by the business.
Previously.
Leading up to the time of trial. Yes. Well, I shouldn't say that. Leading up to the filing. That's correct.
Things have changed.
I think self-serving testimony shows that. I think the evidence shows that.
Explain to me how you did corporate officers, keeper, accountant, all come in and say that the business is going downhill. And who's self-serving on those steps?
I believe the bookkeeper is Jason's sister. His dad has a reason not to be untruthful, but to fudge the truth a little bit. And the accountant has just testified that he just takes the number that they give him. If you look at the profit and loss statement for 03, for 13, and for 14, they're not that much different. They show a minor loss both in 13 and in 14.
Doesn't 13 show that a lot share was distributed to parties, owners, employees?
More salary. Yes, more salary.
And is that an indication that they're not making as much money, otherwise the loss would be greater?
I would agree with that, but I would also say that the in-kind benefits didn't change significantly, meaning the payment of the vehicles, payment of the insurance, all the other expenses you're showing. I think when the business, and I think his father testified to this, when the business started to turn down in 14, and that was when the divorce was filed, I think the court can only look at what the situation was as of the filing when somebody is self-employed. And that $8,300 a month that was supporting the family as of the filing equates to the $150,000. For Mr. Mattson to say he only makes $22,000 when they have at least a dozen vehicles, campers, those type of things, it doesn't make any sense. And the other main point is, where's the debt? If in fact he's borrowing this money to pay these expenses, where's the debt? You have his father testifying, but not offering any documentation. He talks about these debts with no backup documentation. There literally is no debts other than a debt or two against the vehicles. So for them to live their lifestyle with a $1,900 mortgage payment and all the other expenses, it makes no sense that he is anywhere near $22,000. I mean, the evidence at trial reflects that.
Does the record show that he's anywhere near close to $120,000 at this time.
Not at the time of trial. Not at the time of trial, but, you know, I think that goes to more the picture they were trying to portray versus the actual evidence that was presented.
Did you submit a salary for calculation out front?
I did.
And what was the salary or the income for basis?
$150,000.
And there wasn't any account for support declaration out front?
There was not.
What about the value of the vehicles? Do you now agree or disagree that the Mercedes, sorry if I'm saying, are nearly belong to the corporation? Testimony that they
weren't tied to. No, I don't agree. And as you pointed out, I think the titles would have shown it. The way the vehicles were used, it doesn't make sense that they were business related. And I believe that there was testimony of how Mr. Matson would buy these vehicles and not get titles, and then so that he wouldn't have to pay sales tax. That's why they didn't present any titles, because the titles are in the previous owners. So I think that explains why they didn't offer that evidence, and also why I couldn't present any evidence to show it was in their purchase.
But there was testimony that as part of his contract, he was entitled to the use of two vehicles.
Yes.
Wouldn't you agree that those were Mercedes?
Based on, if you believe his testimony, yes.
The bike, there's no evidence that was entitled to that license.
No.
So, let's go back and talk about the elephant.
Okay.
I presume from his brief, when he's talking about our knowledge today, are you concerned about the amount of temporary elephant? We don't have any records.
That's correct.
We have no way of knowing what
that is. That's right.
Is there a child support institution?
I don't know if they were filed. Like, I don't know for sure if they're even in the record.
The typical way of doing cases in Omaha is you simply go into the judge's chambers, give them the affidavits, and the judge makes the call.
That's exactly right. And that's exactly what happens here. That's all that I have. If there's not any more questions.
Let me ask one more. There's nothing in the record that supports the $150,000 a year income at the time of trial. He has a high school education. He has no connections that we know of with the evidence to show that he has the ability to go out and get a correct job. How can we impute the $150,000? I mean, I understand that why $22,000 is too low. I understand. But I have a problem with getting $150,000, so I appreciate any help.
I think that my position would be, any time you have a self-employed person, the court should look at the activity of that business with a little bit of a critical eye, because of how easy it is to rush, slow it down, and not report it out.
I would disagree with that.
Well,
it seems to me like it's a lot more. 22,000.
Yeah, and I think the court should look more at the time period right at filing. Because I don't think, if you look again, and I agree with you, there was a downturn slightly from 13 to 14, but the time benefits didn't change very much. I think the total salaries went down from 225,000 to about 180,000.
Exactly.
Was there any evidence of this family that manipulated the numbers from the business or done anything underhanded to suggest it was failing?
No.
So there was no basis trial to discount that evidence?
No, I don't think there was.
Thank you.
He is.
Our final case for today is